Father, as we come into your presence today, Lord God, we thank you, Lord. Each and every one of us, Lord, bow our hearts, our knees, our souls, our minds, Lord, our intellect, Lord God, to you this morning, Lord God. Because, Lord, it's only you, Lord, and you only, Lord God. As the song says, you deserve it, Lord. All the honor, all the glory, all our praise, Lord. So our hallelujah this morning, Lord, belongs to you, Lord. Hallelujah. God, we honor you this morning. You sit high and lifted up, Lord, and you look low amongst men, Lord. And God, we just come to just tell you we love you this morning. God, we blow kisses to you, Lord. God, we're enchanted with you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Our hearts say yes to you this morning, God. Our soul says yes to you, Lord. Our flesh says yes to you, Lord God. God, we just give ourselves to you this morning, God, and we can't do it without your spirit, God. And we just pray in the name of Jesus this morning, Lord, that you would look into us, Lord. Some of us came this morning and we got issues, Lord God. Some of us came, Lord, with burdens, Lord God, and we've carried them in, Lord God, and we're thinking about stuff, Lord, and about life, Lord. And sometimes life can be weighty, Lord God. We got situations, Lord God, on tomorrow, God, that we got to face a trial, Lord God. And we're wondering if you're going to be there, Lord. But I thank you, Lord, that you're not a man that you should lie, nor the son of man. If you said it, Lord, you said you're going to perform it, Lord. And you said that you would never leave us or forsake us, Lord. So I'm speaking to somebody right now who has a situation that seems impossible. But all we have is you, Lord. As Jehoshaphat, Lord, was surrounded by this army and that army. And it's really interesting that your scriptures make it clear, Lord, that the king was afraid, Lord. But he says, our eye is upon you, Lord, and our eye is on you this morning, Lord, that you would do immeasurably more than we could ask, think, Lord God, that you would move among us in a special way this morning, Lord God, that you would touch each and everybody as your hands are touched one another, Lord God. We lift up each other to you this morning, Lord God, whatever the situation is, whatever the problem is, Lord God. If it's sickness, if it's disease, Lord God, we curse it in the name of Jesus, Lord God. If it's poverty and bankrupt, Lord God, you are the wealth, Lord God. You said you should supply all our needs according to your riches and glory, God. If it's trouble in our mind, Lord God, you said that you give us peace, not as the world gives it to us, Lord, that you give us your peace, Lord. Shalom, I speak in this house, Lord, in the name of Jesus this morning. I lift up the set man, God, my friend, my brother, my comrade in the gospel, Lord, that you would speak a word, Lord. Even right now, that you would refill him fresh with your anointing, God. That you would empower him with confidence and wisdom, not of his own, like he's going to do something himself. But when he stands up, God, you will stand up inside of him today, Lord God, and that you would preach a word, Lord God, that would shake the earth, Lord God. Last week, you asked us a question. Many people took it the wrong way. But you asked us a question, will we have faith to move to the next level? God, I heard one of the men says, yeah, God, we believe, but help our unbelief this morning, Lord God. Strengthen us, our desires of faith, and increase our increase in our mind, our intellects, to remember what you have done, Lord God. And what you've done before, Lord God, you're more than able to do again. So now, God, we surrender ourselves. God, let your spirit descend. Let it fill this place, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Move among us as only you can. And, God, we'll be so careful to give you all the honor, the praise and the glory. It's in the precious name of Jesus. Let the church say amen. 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 Come on, give the Lord a hand praise.
And the title of the song is Jesus, I Love You. God bless you. The Voices of Levi. So faithful, not because I've been so good. You've always been there for me to provide my every need. You were there when I was lonely. You were there in all my pain, guiding my footsteps, shelter from the rain. And it was you who made my life complete. You are to me my everything, and that is why I sing. Jesus, I love you, because you can, because you can. I couldn't imagine
if you weren't there.
Jesus, I love you. Salvation. You're the peace in my storm. Your loving arms protect me when you shelter me from harm. You are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. My strong tower, my dearest and closest friend. And it was you who made my life complete. You are to me my everything, and that is why I sing. Come on, let's say that together.
Because you can.
Come on, Jesus, I love you.
I couldn't imagine
if you weren't there. Jesus, I love you.
Because you can.
Jesus, I love you,
love you.
When you hung on the cross,
I love you.
With your grace and your mercy, because you can.
You
protected me, and you can.
I love you.
To me, when his presence is heavy, is that God is prepared to do something that he has not yet done. There's a breakthrough in the house that you have not yet experienced. You've been praying for a breakthrough, but today is the day. You've been seeking and running to the altar every week, and God says, today is that day. What prevents our breakthrough is our faith. What prevents the breakthrough is our lack of faith of what God has already said he will do. Faith says God already did it. And so when I run to the altar every week, it's not because I'm asking God the same thing over and over again. At one point, my asking turns to thank you. And so when you see people at the altar every week, don't think they're just asking God over and over again. Sometimes they come just to say thank you. I say thank you for the breakthrough, even though I have not yet seen it in the natural. But God showed me in the spirit. And so I come to the altar and say thank you. Praying for that child that I haven't seen it, but I see it in the spirit. And God says, I say thank you. Haven't got that job yet, but I see it in the spirit, and so I come to the altar to say, thank you. Haven't got that report back from the doctor that I'm looking for, but God already said I was going to beat it, so I come to the altar to just to say, thank you. Thank you. There is a difference between the anointing of God and the show of man. There is a difference between the anointing of God and the talent of man. Just because someone is talented does not mean they are anointed. I say this name not because I'm critical of him. R. Kelly can come in here and wreck the house. That does not mean he's anointed. And so what we do, we mistake the talent of people and already say that is the anointing of God. The anointing of God does not need to put on a show. It'll wreck the house all by itself with no assistance from anybody. Because when the anointing falls, the preacher stands back. The choir can't sing. Deacons can't do nothing. In fact, the Bible says when the glory fell, there was a shaking in the house. The smoke filled the room, and all they can do was couldn't do nothing but worship God. If you worship God correctly, it'll put us all out of church because we can't hold it in here. So what the church has got to start doing is stop mistaking somebody's talent and say that's the anointing of God. It is a privilege to pray for anybody. But I don't pray that someone would look at me. I pray that they might experience the very presence of God and that your faith might be encouraged and increased. Because when they come back with a testimony, you say, if they did it for them, if God did it for them, God will do it for me. If he healed him, God will heal me. But none of this is possible in our old tradition. We've got to break out of the tradition of what we know church to be and come back to real, authentic worship, because I worship God because of who he is. Not because of all the stuff that he's given me, but God, if you don't give me another dime, I still worship you. That's when you feel the glory hit, because God, if you don't do nothing else, you've already done enough. You've done enough. God has already done enough. And it was said, you know, we shouldn't have to be a cheerleader every Sunday, but when we open up, that's enough to start an explosion, because we're here to acknowledge the living God. That's why David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We're going in together to worship God. We're not here for show. We're here to worship. And it's in my worship that God causes the breakthrough. Real, authentic worship does not parade itself. When I draw attention to me, I have taken the helm from God and said, look at me. But my job is not to have you look at me, but look at him. Everything that I do, it should be, look at him. Look at what God has done now. And if the vision is to wrap the very arms of God around the Antelope Valley, I can't do it, but God can. And it's to tell somebody that God loves them. This past week, we had the awesome privilege to feed the homeless, to sit down with them, to talk with them, to eat with them, to let them know that there is no difference between you and I. To let them know that God loves them and that this is not their life. But just as God has touched everyone in here, he'll touch them. There was a turning point to somebody's life in here. It looked like you were about to sleep in your car. It looks like you had no place to lay your head but God. And so everybody has that but God testimony. It looked like everything was crashing in on me. But God. And so I kept worshiping my God. He's amazing. What is worship? Worship is telling God, to God, how good God is. And so I'm not telling you when I'm worshiping. I'm telling God. God, you're wonderful. God, you're awesome. God, you're amazing. Unless you know him, you won't get it. It's only for the children of God. What a privilege this is today. I was telling the Browns this morning, before anybody was in the building, can't you sense the presence of God? It's not that you brought it in. He was here when you got here. His presence filled the house before one person walked in.
All we say to America is be true to what you said on paper. If I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country, maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges because they haven't committed themselves to that over there. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right. And so just as I say we aren't going to let any dogs or water hoses turn us around, we aren't going to let any injunction turn us around. Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
As we celebrate Black History Month, there's a lot that we've been through. And as we look into the book of Joshua, the great leader of Israel, Moses, could not cross over. But God took him to the mountaintop to look over, showed him the promised land. Years ago, all we had was our faith in God, trusting God, and that was passed on from generation to generation. Even for those that could not read, they knew of God, and they knew of God's promises to a better life. Years later, a lot of us are still struggling to see or to receive the very promises of God because there is an enemy that sits within that seeks to blind, seeks to destroy, seeks to conquer, seeks to divide, because if he can divide the body of Christ, then we would never see the promise that God has for Living Stone. I've said, and it is evidently rumored, that want to grow the church younger. That does not mean, and let me say this, that does not mean that there is no place for our older people. I'm not the youngest thing in the church. I am 55 years old, so when I speak of growing younger, I'm speaking of myself. It needs to grow younger than I am. That does not mean we neglect our seniors, but because our seniors take on a different role, they become a role of mentors. As the young ones come in, it is our seniors that run up next to them and tell them how to do this. They don't know church, and so we're not here to teach them church. We're here to teach them about the relationship with the living God. So they don't get discouraged when they come in here and run ahead of somebody that is not full of the love of God. And how many of you know that can happen in the church? You run up against somebody that claims to know God but don't show God. And so when the new ones that God is about to send run up into one of the old ones that don't know God, it's the saints of God that run next to them to show them that don't give up now. That's not the true love of God. And you begin to mentor them. But that mentoring never takes place unless they come. And so when I say grow older, I'm not saying neglect anyone, but I'm saying make room for some more folks. Make room for some younger people, some younger gifts that we do not have here. And in the process, God would not only grow us younger, he'll grow us older. And so the mixture of young and old in one house, one vision, and that is to capture the Antelope Valley for Christ. And that we'll be able to say that even if we don't make it over together, Livingstone, the vision is clear. God says, capture the Antelope Valley. It's already given. The promise is already made. The problem with the children of Israel, they were just too scared. They didn't have the faith to believe that God can do what he said he can do. The book of Joshua chapter 1, and I know this is Super Bowl Sunday, and last year we had our jerseys on, and my team wasn't in last year. They're not in it this year, so I'm going to take a knee in protest. I'm going to take a knee and protest it this year. But how many of you know that there are Christians that play football? In fact, one of the pictures I have saved is a picture after a football game between Cowboys and the Redskins. And after the game, where the cameras don't show, players on every team across the country, after every game, they gather and they all take a knee. They join hands and they all pray. All the believers, every team do it every week. They take a knee after the game and they give thanks to God. Every game, every team. So there are believers that play. So when we wear a jersey on any day, it's not against God. Just because I put on a collar doesn't mean I'm for God, or does not mean that I know God. Just because we dress a certain way does not mean we know God. It has nothing to do with the clothes that you wear on the outside. It has everything to do with the heart that is on the inside. Joshua chapter 1. Start with verse 3. I will give you, and I'm reading from the NIV, I will give you every place where you set your foot. As I promised Moses, your territory will extend the desert of Lebanon and the great river Euphrates, the Hittites country, and the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give to them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful in whatever you do. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything that is written in it. Then you will prosper and be successful. The challenge, you may be seated, thank you so much. The challenge, the vision is to expand our own territory. Right now, Livingstone sits in the heart of Sun Village, depends on who you're talking to, in Little Rock. Depends on who you're talking to. But I was told, don't ever say Little Rock, because this is Sun Village. Well, it was incorporated under Little Rock, so. Not trying to be disrespectful of Sun Village, because I know the history of it. I know what it means, and understand that that was the only place in the Antelope Valley where colored folk could move and could live. And so I understand the importance of maintaining, but as a church, our goal is not to maintain the legacy of Little Rock or Sun Village, but it's to uphold and spread the name of Jesus Christ throughout this entire valley. Joshua, the name means God is salvation, or Yahweh is salvation. He had an awesome task to take over from his mentor, Moses. one of the greatest leaders ever. Joshua got to walk with him, sit with him, listen to him, and know that God was using Moses. And not only was God using Moses, God was speaking to Moses. Joshua was there when Moses came to Pharaoh. And after 400 years of slavery, God sent Moses to say to the Pharaoh, "It's time to let my people go." Joshua was there as God unleashed through the power 10 different plagues to force Pharaoh's hand to let the people of Israel go. It's been long enough. God says it's time to inherit the land that I promised. 10 plagues later, Pharaoh is frustrated, angry, but the word of God says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. We're so quick to give everybody else credit, but sometimes God is pushing the buttons. And so God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. So when the children were released and they were on their way, excited, we're finally free, somebody heard some thunder, chariots on their back, horses running towards them. And they looked around. There was no way to escape. Couldn't go to the left, couldn't go to the right. If they went back, they were running right back into the midst of the army. But if they went straight ahead, the Red Sea was right in front of them. And so just like the people of God, they began to curse God and Moses. They said, "What did we do to you, Moses? We told you when we were back in Egypt," and I'm paraphrasing, he said, "leave us alone and let us serve the Egyptians. And you brought us out into this desert now to die." Joshua was there when Moses came down from the mountain with his face glowing with the very presence of God. And he saw how God was using him. And so this awesome responsibility that Moses once had was now in the hands of Joshua. And it was important that the people knew that not only was God with Moses, but he's now with Joshua. And so he repeated to Joshua in the presence of the people, "Joshua, you are the one. When we set a vision, when we set a plan to capture the Antelope Valley, it is imperative and important to understand that God is the one leading the charge. If it is just man, then we will fail every single time. But if God is involved, then it's going to take more than John Mitchell and his team, but it's going to take the entire body of Living Stone. If we have 220 people here today and every one of you asked one person to come, we're over 400 strong next week. If everyone did the same thing the following week, you had over 800 strong the next week. And if everyone did it the following week, you have over 1,200 in this place. And now everyone is looking. It looks like we're full. It happens through true evangelism. And true evangelism happens by word of mouth. When you open your mouth and you tell somebody how good God is, people will respond. They'll respond because you are giving your honest testimony of how God has benefited, how God has helped you, and how God has blessed you. I can't speak for anyone else, but I can tell you what God has done for me. I can't tell you what God has done for anyone else, but when I was sick and I fell down on my knees and I began to pray, I can tell you God heard my prayers and God healed me. Can't tell you what God has done for anyone else, but when I got a pink slip at work, God said, "I got a better thing ahead of you." So God was already preparing for me. And so it's your testimony that makes the difference in the lives of the people. And so when we began to evangelize the Antelope Valley, we're evangelizing not only with the word of God, but also with the testimony. It's your testimony that will spark the interest. How do you tell somebody that don't know God or don't believe in God how good God is? It is your experience that God is real. I can't tell you what you've heard in the past or what your mother and your daddy told you, but I can tell you what God has done for me. Joshua's faith continued to grow as he witnessed what God was doing in the presence of Moses. Moses scared and not knowing what to do, had this rod in his hand, this stick in his hand, this asking God, I don't know what to do. He said, Moses, what's in your hand? Oftentimes we're looking for some great thing for God to move and give us the Antelope Valley, and God is saying, what's in your hand? Use what I've already given you, because it's more than enough. Why? Because I have already given you the valley. The land that he sent the spies to spy out was not to go look and see if they can capture it, but to go and look and see what I promised you all these years. I'm giving you first take. I'm going and looking to the land that is flowing with milk and honey. And he sent out 12 of them, and one of them was Joshua and Caleb. And they went out, and you would think they would all come back full of excitement and full of faith. This is the land that we have been talking about for years and years, and our eyes have already seen it. And we're coming back to tell you that it is rich, full of fruit, and it's ready for us to go in. But just like church folk, Tim said, we can't do it. Pastor, I don't see how we're going to capture the Antelope Valley. The Antelope Valley is too big for us to wrap our arms around. We don't have enough money to do what you're talking about. But Caleb said, we're more than strong enough to go and walk in and get what God has already promised us. The problem is the faithlessness of the Israelites. They began to look at the circumstances. There's no way for us to defeat Pharaoh because he's charging at us right now. The Red Sea, how are we going to cross that? And so when you put a vision or a plan to say, this is what God says for us to do, it's the 10 that say, I don't know how we're going to do it. We're not big enough. We look like grasshoppers. But you would think the history between the Israelites and God would have been a sufficient enough faith for them to say, God, we can do it because you said we can do it. The old saying, if God said, I believe it, and that settles it. But God said, I'm giving you the land that I promised to your ancestors. And when they came back, that's not what they were talking about. In fact, they looked at Moses and said, the land that you sent us to, yes, it's flowing with milk and honey, but they got giants in the land. They're surrounding the land, and it's got everything God said, but it's not ours. And so the problem comes when God promised you something, you begin to look at your circumstances. You might be the only one in your family with goals to make it to college, but it's the enemy around you, it's the haters around you saying, what makes you think you're different? Your daddy never went to school, why do you think you're going to go to college? Your mama never made anything of herself. Why do you think you're going to make something of yourself? It's everyone around you. And I've discovered they don't want you to go nowhere because they themselves ain't going nowhere. And so they try to pull you down where they are because they don't want to see you grow and get past them. But God understood Joshua's dilemma. He was scared to death. How do you know that? Why? How do you encourage somebody that's already encouraged? He said, be strong and courageous. And he said it multiple times. Why does he have to continue to repeat that to Joshua? Because Joshua was scared out of his shoes. You don't say be strong and courageous to someone who is strong and courageous. So it goes without reason to say Joshua was scared. But God said, Joshua, I am with you. I will go before you to do everything that I'm asking you to do. He says, I will give you every place where you will set your foot, as I promised Moses. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Everyone won't go with you. Everyone won't go with you. During the civil rights movement, not only did the whites that did not want things to change oppose Dr. King, there was also blacks opposed Dr. King. Because there were some of them that said, he's rocking the boat. He's going to make matters worse for us. And so as the other people were marching in unity, there were those that were criticizing and cursing him because they did not want him to rock the boat. They were just like the Israelites. Like, I dare you bring us out into this desert here to die. We had it good back in Egypt serving the master. And so when Dr. King began to march peacefully, they were horrified because they thought he was going to send them back. They thought he was going to make matters worse. In fact, they couldn't see the promise. But God had already showed them that. You heard me say, it doesn't matter to me anymore because God has taken me to the mountaintop and he's allowed me to see and to look over into the promised land. And so the problem is everybody can't see the promised land. Everybody's not looking at the promise that God gave you. So when God has called you and given you a vision, understand all of your friends ain't going to understand it. All of your friends ain't going to go with you. In fact, they're going to say, what makes you think you are special than them? You can't go to college because I never went to college. You can't own a business because I've never owned a business. When God gives you a vision, be careful who you share your vision with. They said, we would have been better in Egypt, but you brought us out here to die. When God gives you a vision for you, understand, it's for you. Can you say for your eyes only? For your spirit only. God has spoken into your spirit a vision that he has for you. And that vision may be too big for your friends to handle. That vision may be too big for your family to handle. And so when you begin to share the vision that God has given you, the haters around you won't understand it because they have not been to the mountaintop and they have not looked over. And in fact, God has not spoken into their spirit what he has spoken into your spirit. And so when the vision is plain and clear to you, it's distorted to them. They can't see it. They can't hear it. And then they find themselves praying against you. You ever seen church folk pray against somebody? I know that don't happen here at Living Stone, but church folk praying against you. In the name of Jesus. We pray against each other. God, I pray they don't ever sing another song. In Jesus' name. And so we hate on each other because we don't see the vision, because God didn't speak it to me. Because he didn't speak it to me, it means he didn't speak it to you. And the haters come in and begin to pray against you and begin to plot against you, begin to plan against you, set a click against you. So they're over there praying against you while God is speaking to you. But understand, just like God told Joshua, I will go with you and I will go before you everywhere you put your foot, Joshua. That's your land that I've already promised you. So when God speaks into your heart, I don't care how many clicks pray against you, God says, I've already given it to you. And what I do for you is what I told David. I'll prepare a meal before you in the presence of your enemies. And so your enemies will see God blessing you, and it's not a thing they can do about it. Four different times in this chapter alone, God reminds Joshua that he's going to be with him. Verse 6, verse 7, verse 13, verse 8, he kept reminding him, Joshua, I am with you. Whatever God calls you to understand, God is prepared. He's already prepared victory for you. The wonderful thing about Christianity is that we can flip to the back of the book and see who wins. If you flip back to... You ever looked at a superhero and you had a superhero and they were struggling, they were getting beat up and you looking and you looking, you just can't take it no more. So what you do? You skip to the back of the book. And you get to the back of the book and you see that your hero wins. And so now you flip the book back and you begin to read with a calm spirit. And so that's what we can do with the Bible. We flip to the back of the book and see that the devil does not win. And so when I flip back to Genesis and begin to read back to Revelation, I read with a calm spirit because I know I've already won. Jehoshaphat, word came to him that the armies were after him and they were pursuing him. Jehoshaphat cried out to God. Can you imagine the children of Israel? I know they were critical. I know they were chastising him just like they did Moses. And these are the same people that Joshua had to inherit, these same faithless, hopeless, I can't say the other word, people that did not have faith in God. But Jehoshaphat cried to God. One young man came and said, he said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all that live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Don't be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. That's the key to everything. That's the key to the vision. How are we going to win the antelope? The battle is not yours, but God's. How am I going to be able to do everything? The battle is not yours. And so the problem comes when I turn the battle into my fight. And I even try to fight on my knees and I'll be praying against her. God said, it's not yours. But if you put your faith in me, you put your trust in me and keep your word like I have told you, God says, I will fight your battles for you. Be strong and courageous. Be careful to do all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful in whatever you do. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There was a movie that came out a few years ago starring Denzel Washington called The Book of Eli. And it was his goal, his task in the movie to preserve the one and last Bible. And he would read it every single day. And one person asked him, do you read that book every day? And he says, without fail. Without fail. Therein lies the problem for most Christians. We don't read God's word. We read it and we open our Bibles on Sunday morning. Put it on the shelf until next Sunday. We read until next Wednesday night Bible study, but I won't touch it again until the next one. We don't pray unless we pray here on Sunday or unless we sit at the dinner table and say our grace and call that prayer. We don't have a relationship with God. And so when times come that call for my faith, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So if I have not heard the word of God, I don't have the faith to capture the Antelope Valley. I don't have the faith to go to school and get my college degree. I don't have the faith to take the next plunge to open up my own business that God spoke to me about 10 years ago and said I would have. But my faith is shallow because I don't have a relationship with God. I don't know him. I only know him based off of what the preacher said. But I have never opened up the book for myself to find out what thus saith the Lord. That's the problem, what happened with the children of when Jim Jones came. They began to listen to him and didn't study for themselves. So when that man stood up one day and said, I am God, put your Bible down, they believed him because they refused to open the Bible for themselves. So much ignorance that the man convinced them to kill themselves, and 903 people lost their lives. Because they all drunk the Kool-Aid. They didn't study for themselves. We cannot capture the Antelope Valley with ignorance in our church. And I mean by ignorance, but if we don't study to show ourselves approved, if we don't open the word of God for ourselves individually every day, he said, Joshua, this word should never leave your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Then you will be prosperous. Then you will have good success. So all of us are asking God to bless us, but I won't even open his word. I'm asking God to speak to me, but I won't even open his word. I won't even open his word. I won't even pray until next Sunday. But I'm expecting God to bless me. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And the evidence of things not seen. What vision do you have? What goals do you have? 5 years ago, you said you were going to get your college degree, but that goal has now faded. You once said you were going to own your own business, but that goal has now faded. But if you stop and think and reflect, it's the people that you're surrounding yourself with. Are they pushing you towards your goal, or are they holding you back from your goal? Are they telling you you can capture the land, or are they telling you that you're just a grasshopper and you'll never make it? Everybody won't go with you. When God gives you a vision, God has given you that vision. And it's not up to you to convince all of your people that you are surrounding yourself with that God has called you. It's up to you to believe God has called you. And once you step out on faith, you'll find the separation begin to take place. If they ain't with you, they're going to leave you because they're going to talk about you. But if they're going to stay with you, they're going to pray with you and push you and propel you to do everything that God has already promised you can do. Don't give up hope. Trust in God. It's been a long road, but just like the old folks say, I don't believe he brought me this far just to leave me now. If he called me into the promised land, I believe God's going to take me, and I'm ready to be in here all the way. God was already, he has already made a path for you. Walking into the country fields in Texas, my grandfather would always lead the way, and I would walk right behind him because he's blazing a trail. He says, stay behind me. I know some of y'all city don't know what ticks are, but he says, stay behind me if you don't want the ticks to climb up on you. And so we'll walk right behind him all the way. The moment I got out of the trail, ticks. He knew the trail. He knew the path. And so God is saying, follow me. I know the path that I've laid for you. I've already ordered your steps. So where I walk, you walk. And when you walk where I walk, the path is already laid for you. The victory is already yours. The problem comes when you walk on your own. God says, don't turn from it from the left or to the right. When I begin to interpret the Bible my own special way, that's when we develop new religions. People that are interpreting the scriptures in their own special way. Well, it can mean this way. There are multiple ways to God. No, it's not multiple ways to God. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So although there are thousands of different religions, there's only one way to God. And if you don't know him, you won't see him face to face. But if you know him that great day, you'll be able to look at Jesus face to face and fall down and begin to worship him. But he's no respecter of person. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to fight for it. You don't have to have a certain amount of money. All you need is a certain amount of faith. Trust and believe that he is God, that he died and that God raised him again. He is still alive. If you believe that, salvation is yours. You can stand on the street corner all you want, but you will never earn enough to be saved. But if you're saved, you'll go on the street corner and tell somebody why you're standing there. I don't work to become saved. I work because I am saved. And so I can't work hard enough in the ministry to get saved, but because I am saved, I sing every Sunday. Because I am saved, I serve every Sunday. The vision is mine. Because God spoke it into my spirit. Be careful who you hang out with. This is a brand new year, brand new season. Some of you need to separate yourselves from some of them. That don't mean you got to delete their number, but some of you might want to. But if God has spoken into your spirit and they're constantly draining you, constantly pulling you back and pulling you down, telling you what you can and cannot do, never speaking into your life, never encouraging you, you need to stop and reflect about who you're hanging out with. Because the vision God gave you is still in your spirit. God birthed that thing in your spirit, and he wants it to come to fruition. The problem is not the promise. The problem is me. I'm hanging around the wrong people. God says, I gave you wings, but you keep crawling. You keep walking. Livingstone, we have an awesome responsibility not to fill the sanctuary up with people so we can brag and say we got 1,400 people here every Sunday. That is not the goal nor the option. But to fill it with people that are ready to get onto the vineyards and work. Because we need to reproduce what God has produced in us already. So I go out and word of mouth says I need to tell somebody about Jesus. And so now that 200 people that did it today, 400 is here next Sunday because we all opened our mouth and told them about who Jesus is. And now that 400 has turned to 800. 800 has turned to 12. 12, and it keeps multiplying. It never stops. The vision is bigger than what you see. But don't be like the Israelite and say, we're only grasshoppers. Don't be like them who says, I wish we could have stayed back in Egypt and serve as slaves for the rest of our days. He says, are there not any graves in Egypt? Couldn't you have buried us in Egypt, but yet you brought us out into this wilderness to die? They had no faith. Don't let it be said of Living Stone, you don't have any faith. Your faith should not be predicated or based off of your friends. It should not be predicated based off of somebody's post on you on Facebook. Whether they like you or whether they're hating on you, your faith is based off of the promise God spoke in your spirit. If God said it's for me, then it's for me. Whether they believe it or not, I believe God. Psalms chapter 1 says, blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked or stand in the way of the sinners or take the seat of the company of the mockers. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. This person is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Wherever they does, they prosper. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. You can't speak the word unless you know the word. You won't know the word unless you open the word. I was contemplating putting a survey in the bulletins this week, questioning, like we did for Sunday school, put a bulletin in about prayer on Wednesday night. The truth is, no matter what day I pick, we don't put priority on prayer. And so I understand that Antelope Valley is a commuter's town and six may not be the best. But let one catastrophe hit this Antelope Valley, and I guarantee you, it won't be. We'll have to have prayer over here. We don't find it necessary until it becomes personal with us. There's a disaster that hit my family, so now I need prayer. But if there's no disaster, I don't think a need for prayer. So I pulled back and said, "No, I'm not going to put a bullet. I'm not going to put it in there. If you don't place a value on prayer and Bible study, there's nothing I can do." It must become personal to you. And it's never personal to you unless you need God for something. And the problem is when we always need God for something, never thanking God for what he's already done, never thanking God for who he is. I'm always got my hand out. And so I miss it. The vision is to capture the Antelope Valley. But before God marches over, there are some things that need to change in-house. By this would all men know that you're my disciples. Come on, y'all know that by now. Because you have love one to another. Love. I mean genuine love. The agape love. When I tell you that I love you, you believe me because you've seen it by my action. And so when we begin to love one another, that is so contagious. It will spread outside. We won't be able to contain it. The change must begin within. And then the order is to go out. He says, go out, go ye therefore. Never said, let them come. The doors are open, but he told us to go get them. Told us to go ye therefore into all the nations. And so Antelope Valley is one of those. It may be too big for one, but it's not too big for God. Amen? Stand to your feet. Everyone standing, everyone standing. The vision, God has spoken to, he's spoken to some of you here today. And it might have been 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. And you have ceased to believe the promise now because time has caused you to lose faith. How many know God is not concerned about the time? He's not scared about the time. He controls the time. And so, but you have allowed the time to dictate your faith. When God first spoke it into your spirit, you were hot and heavy. You were believing God, trusting God. But now 5 years later, you don't even think about it. God spoke to Abraham about a seed that he was going to put in him. He was already too old to have children, him and his wife. 25 years later, they were holding a little baby boy. Well past the age of bearing children that no one can get the credit but God. And so time is not an indicator that God has forgotten about you. Your faith ought to continue to grow because you have developed history with God. If he did it before, he'll do it again. And you keep trusting God. You keep believing God. Don't allow 1 year to pass and you say, God, maybe I didn't hear him right. You heard him right the first time. Don't let the devil or your friends tell you you did not hear God right the first time. The problem is we let time dictate to us if God is still listening to me. God is not like man.
Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his throne with exceeding joy, to the only wise God be glory, honor, dominion, and power henceforth and forevermore. Go in peace. Shalom, my brothers and sisters. Shalom. Peace.